Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
A minute 20 to go and counting.
Still have one timeout.
Fields underneath. He finds the former Viking Amir Smith-Marset. And it's stripped away by D'Angelo. He takes it down into Bears territory. A huge turnover with a minute to go.
A painful ending to today's Bears game. Bears falling to the Vikings 29-22. This is Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Kevin Powell in for Andy Mazur. Guys, that was tough. And for the second week in a row, Justin Fields had an opportunity, at least we thought, to score and then maybe go for two and keep the game going. And for the second week in a row, a fumble. And as we all know, Amir Smith-Marset, as you heard on the call there, just needed to get out of bounds. It would have been a nice 15-yard pickup with about a minute 12 remaining. Bears were moving it a little bit. They had a shot to get into scoring territory, but a fumble. And they lose 29-22.
Hamp, Kevin, you know, I just got to tell you, it was a gut-wrenching loss on so many different levels. First of all, you know, this hits principle that Eberflus preaches, OB, about, you know, staying in the game, fighting. It came true. It actually materialized right before our eyes. Going down.
Except for the last 20, word, smart.
21-3. And then fighting back with, 18 unanswered points, and then taking the lead. 19 unanswered points. Taking the lead. To find the rhythm and balance on offense in the second half. Tells me, yes, we have some coaches with some brains. They're making adjustments. Good things are happening. But to have it all fall apart because of a marginal player's idiotic play on two separate plays. This Smith-Marset character was a guy with the penalty blocking in the back on Justin Fields' scramble about 60 yards for a touchdown. But then to have the ball stripped and taken away, I got to tell you, man, there's 52 guys in that locker room that are just ready to bite their arm off.
Well, let me tell you what I saw this afternoon. I liked to see Darnell Mooney involved in the offensive scheme of things. Finally, also Cole Kmet in the scheme of offensive things. And always, as ever, David Montgomery. If we get a steady diet of Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney, and David Montgomery, we're going to win some games this year, maybe a little more than some people think. I thought it was a very good thing, and the tempo, I love the tempo, which led to us going with four scoring consecutive drives. That's tempo, that's understanding the situation where you're at, and everybody being committed and getting it done. But I'm going to tell you what, again, Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney, and David Montgomery, those are the guys that have to be involved. We have to hear their name all four quarters constantly. And if we do, we're going to win more than we're going to lose. And again, I know we lost the game. It's always a gut-wrenching thing when you do. But I'll tell you what, we weren't – obviously nobody picked us to win the game anyway. But we almost did. But what I liked, again, the rhythm, the four scoring drives, one after the other, and getting Kmet, Mooney, and Montgomery involved in the offense.
You know, I say this all the time. Every play is a game. You just don't know what play it's going to be. Well, this bum had two of the worst plays of the season, and it cost us a victory. Let's get out to the phone lines, Kevin.
Yeah, 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in here. Maurice has been waiting. Awful planning by the coordinators. Maurice, what do you have to say? You're on WGN.
I would like to add to Ed Obradovich and Dan Hampton. They do not have the offensive coordinator does not have a good game plan for this team. Justin Fields shouldn't be running for his life. They should have an offensive line that can protect him. Also, they made Eberflus look like a rookie coach, along with the coordinators. They didn't make the adjustments right. The defensive coordinator, Alan Smith, also was deficit because Kirk Cousins looked like Bart Starr. Have a good show, gentlemen.
Thank you for the call, Maurice.
Maurice, you're exactly... Well, see, I think what you're thinking about is maybe just backwards. They had a horrible opening game plan. The defense had no answers. Kirk Cousins went 15 of 15, three straight touchdown drives. We had no answers. It looked like it was going to be a blowout from the get-go. But we did make the adjustments on offense and defense.
Well, it's finally after our offense got going to get a little rhythm, give them a little positivity going on both sides of the ball. And again, I liked what I saw, and if they can improve on that from week to week, we got something to look forward to.
And the defensive coordinator is Alan Williams. And again, the first quarter, they had this kid Jones, who I never really heard of, number 31.
Jalen Jones.
Jalen Jones, that was about 10 yards off of Justin Jefferson, and they were putting on a clinic. It looked like a 9-on-7 drill.
Danny.
But they did make some adjustments, and they started clamping down and getting in, you know, position to where they were not allowing those free releases to the receivers, and it bought us a little time, and we changed the dynamic.
The one thing I didn't with that Justin Jones, number 31, when I tell you he was chasing a couple guys where he could have caught them and made a big difference, Danny. And I remember I told you, I said, Dan,
he's loafing.
He was loafing. He was loafing, folks. He wasn't running 100%. He wasn't going as fast as he could. You could just see it. That's a no-no.
Maybe he hadn't got the hits memo yet.
That's principal. Mike in Rockford's been hanging on for a while. Mike, what do you have to say about today's loss?
Yeah, just what can you say? Not good, guys. But you know what? I got to say they played better. They played better than they have, which I was happy to see.
Yes.
And one player, guys, I only played high school football for 4 years, but you know what? We were taught the basic fundamentals. I don't know what this kid was thinking when he did go out of bounds. Plus, it would have stopped the clock. They had first down.
Amen.
It's just it's stupidity. But I want to ask you guys if you can comment on the question, because I want to ask you guys, do you blame this on the player or do you blame this on coaching? Because I know the player's out there doing it, but is it the coaching? Because does that fall on the coach's lap? And one other thing I got to say, guys, I had an uncle who passed several years back from ALS, and my heart and prayers go out to Steve Mongo McMichael, guys. And I know, Dan, he was your teammate, and this poor guy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, it's one of the most debilitating, horrible things to go through as a human being. You literally waste away, and I just feel so bad for that guy.
Mike, thank you for the call.
Well, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, Steve, when he was out on that field, I tell you, he's one of those guys that he wouldn't give you an inch. And if he was going down, he was going to take you down with him.
All right.
But he's fighting hard. He's still going good.
The Bears falling to the Vikings 29-22. It was a painful one, but they clawed back. They fought back. It was probably Justin Fields' best game of the season. We'll get more into it here coming up. This is Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Here's Montgomery speeding ahead, spinning in for the touchdown. Welcome back to David Montgomery. He gets the Bears a huge score late in the first half.
This is Hampton OB, brought to you by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Kevin Powell. The Bears losing to the Vikings 29-22 drops the Bears to 2-3 on the year. Guys, you know, I did mention before break, I thought Justin Fields looked pretty good, right? Like, he made some confident-looking throws. There were some drives where he looked like a big-time NFL quarterback.
He had some horrible throws.
He did.
I mean, those first, I don't know, four, five, six throws, he wasn't even in the zip code. And the other thing is, you know, when you look at the final numbers here, okay, you're talking about we passed for 193, we rushed for 78 yards, and the other team, and we only converted 4 or 10 times, and the other team had the ball 13 more minutes than us. You're going to lose.
Well, and again, like I said, you got to give the Vikings an awful lot of credit. They had a great, great game plan on how to attack the Bear defense, obviously watching last week, Kirk Cousins was a maestro, especially early in the game on the bootlegs and throwing pinpoint passes.
No containment, Dan.
Well, and again, they were exploiting. But finally, we did make the adjustment. Now, back to Justin Fields. Yes. But you know what? The big play to Mooney, the 39-yard, you know, circus catch. It was fantastic. And then three plays later, we score with Montgomery. That changed everything. It's almost like this cloud that Justin Fields has been having to operate in of being indecisive and questioning everything and questioning himself, his arm. You could tell it changed. And it almost like you waved a wand and confidence returned, and the kid started stepping into the throws. He was making the proper reads and getting the ball out. All the things we've been talking about for a month. So, man, you know, it's hard to get a silver lining in a loss like this. But Justin Fields, I think he showed up tonight.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Feel free to call in, talk to Hamp and OB. OB, what do you got?
No, I was just going to say that what we've got to do, what I've been saying, last year, get the ball to Mooney, get the ball to Komet, okay? That's who we should be throwing to. That should be on our thoughts every series of every quarter that we play and every week. These guys are the money makers. They're going to take us down the road. And if we don't, we're going to lose. Today, again, great rhythm. What, four times, one after the other, we went down on scoring drives. Mooney involved, Komet involved, and Montgomery involved. That's what we got to have.
Back to the phones. Patrick in Chicago has been awaiting. Patrick, you had some problems with the referees today?
Yeah, and Mustafer. I mean, if you look at the screenplay just before the two-minute warning, he had two blockers in front of him. He didn't get either one of them. I mean, he missed two. I don't know how. He's a big guy, but he missed them. But the officiating is horrible, and I'm tired of it. And the one call, it is the most bothersome to me. I think the touchdown coming back on Fields was a ticky-tack call. I thought that the receiver, the defensive back, was sort of spinning around looking for Fields. But the one in the end zone, Fields throws the ball to the receiver in the end zone. I'm not exactly sure who it was. And a defensive back ran right through him. He put his arms up, and he ran right through him, and he never turned around. Now, the NFL rule is clear. The defensive back can't do that. He has to make a play in the ball. But the referee just stands there. He just stands there. Doesn't do a thing. And as far as I'm concerned, it's first down Bears on the goal line.
Yes.
But no,
yes.
They don't call it.
Yep.
And the Fields touchdown – people can argue with me all you want, but if it's Mahomes or Rodgers or Brady, they don't throw the flag. No way. They don't throw the flag on them. And you know, going back to the beginning of the season where Fields is getting his clock cleaned on the ground and the referee's just standing there with his hands in his pocket. You know, it must be nice. I mean, they make a ton of money. They make almost $200,000 a game. You know, time to start doing their jobs. You know, in the NFL, should these police that up? But Mustafer needs to go. He snapped the ball early, hit Justin Fields.
First
in the
play
thigh.
Of the second half. And, you know, thank you so much for
Thanks
your call.
Call
you
Patrick.
Make some good points. OB, you know, I talked the last 3 weeks before the game. Justin Fields is struggling. Let everybody else not only do their job, but be exemplary. Don't make any mistakes. And so what do? We start the very first play of the damn game with, you know, burning the clock, and we have to take a 5-yard penalty because we don't, you know, run a play. First play of the second half, Mustafer, I don't know what he's thinking about, but Justin Fields is walking to the line trying to give a line call, and he snaps it into his knees. The reason Mustafer is out there is because of injury. The first one was, the plan was Ryan Poles signed Lucas Patrick, the center from Green Bay, to replace him. But unfortunately, he broke his hand in training camp. Mustafer back onto the scene. And then as soon as Patrick gets, you know, strong enough with his thumb where he would be able to start at center, last week, the left guard, Cody Whitehair, he gets hurt. So now we're almost for certain probably looking at Mustafer the rest of the year, and that is a huge liability.
That and the reason why, Dan, because he is not nifty. Mustafa is not nifty. If you watch, I couldn't tell you how many times last year when he'd snap the ball and he'd be dropping back and he'd trip over his own feet. That's why Lucas is at the guard position instead of Mustafa. Lucas is a better center than he is, but because of that situation I just mentioned, that's why.
Time for the Bears' hardest working player of the game, sponsored by the Fair Plumber. Finally, quality plumbing made affordable. Visit fairplumber.com. What do you guys think? Justin Fields for our hardest working player of the game? Kyler Gordon, maybe?
Well, I give it to Justin Fields.
I thought he battled out there today.
The kid, he's obviously, he's in every play, and he's doing everything he can. But as far as I've seen so far, the coaches have not put him in the right and proper situations.
Yeah, I will say about Fields, you know, all season he's looked a little hesitant, right, in the pocket, a little scared to get rid of the ball.
Well, because he doesn't believe in the calls. Yeah. If he did, you'd see him, you know, doing cartwheels out there.
Yeah, he did deliver the ball with a little bit more confidence today. Fields went 15-21, 208 yards, had the one touchdown, sacked twice. It just felt like a game where early on, guys, we all kind of looked at each other and like, this might be a long day. I think credit to them for fighting back against a team like the Vikings, who were 3-1, now 4-1. It got really interesting in the second half.
Kevin, if they don't go to Mooney.
We took the lead.
If they don't go to Mooney or Komet. If they don't go to Mooney or Komet, what happened out there that was good would not have happened. And we never went to them the first four games.
And you know what, folks? Just to kind of validate all the things that OB and I have been preaching for the last month, that Mark Schlereth, who I think is a terrific guy on the color that we listened to today in the booth, first of the second half, he said, hey, they need to get this kid out on the edges, roll him, have play action and bootlegs, and let him make athletic decisions and either throw the ball or run it on the edges and then work the middle of the field.
Cows come home.
Yeah, and we've been screaming that. So I kind of think he was listening to our
freaking. I think so, too.
Yeah.
3-1-2.
And it started working, did it not?
It did. Bears losing to the Vikings 29-22. Plenty more to come. 312-981-7200. We want to hear what you have to say. This is Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Chevy dealers. Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
The Bears come up with a stop. Washington and Matt Eberflus, after rolling the dice and needing some help, the defense and special teams comes up big for Chicago.
Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDrivesChicago.com. The Bears special teams coming up with a big play there about midway through the third quarter, blocking a field goal. But Hamp, Kyler Gordon, I know you've been impressed so far. What you've seen from the rookie defensive back?
Big pick, and actually that was Dominique Robinson that got the block on the field goal attempt. But he made three big tackles in the second half, all of them on third down, stopping the Vikings from acquiring a first down. So yeah, and you know what? I got to tell you, the first 2.5 games, he was like very timid, but it's like he grew up in the second half against the Texans, actually the second quarter, and he started making plays, and man, this is great. When Jalen Johnson comes back, then we're going to have a couple of corners we can go to war with.
Yeah, the secondary, I think, as this season progresses and Jalen Johnson gets healthy, could be a strength of this team. 312-981-7200, you're listening to Hamp and OB on WGN. Let's go to the phones. Rod in St. Charles has been hanging on. Rod, you're on WGN.
Hey, Professor Hamp, Professor Obradovich, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
I got to say, it was a depressing first quarter, but then after that, like Hampton said, Fields seemed to step up and push into his throws, and even though he had some big misses, he still went for it, and even the coaches went for it a couple times, making some risky plays on fourth down, and I like that.
Well, the two things that I think this game gives us, okay, Thursday night, you know, we've got Washington coming in here. Don't you feel a lot differently about the game after watching the conclusion of the game than you did at halftime? I mean, at halftime, OB turns to me and goes, this, you know, can we win a game? Now I have a lot of confidence in what we should be able to do against the Commanders' defense on Thursday night. Now,
yep, we'll mop them up.
Yeah, we'll mop them.
I feel pretty good about that one. Let's continue to take some calls here. Jim on the south side of Chicago, not happy. Jim, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
You know, guys, I just want to say first, thank you for taking my call. Just absolutely disgusting. It's you guys talk about the good plays, and they did make some good plays. They did come back. But 2 weeks in a row, stupidity. The fumble punt last week, the idiot that don't go out of bounds this week. When's it going to stop?
You know what?
Stop.
Jim, you're exactly right. Ed Obradovich, you know, right off the top, I said, you know, Eberflus's hits mantra about hustle and, you know, intensity, all that. Smart is the S.
That's, yeah, they forgot the S, the smart part.
Yeah. And again, this character, Smith Marset, who was claimed off of the Vikings. Roster as a free agent.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, it's almost like he was a secret plant. Anyway, at the end of the day, he was the dumb A today and last week, the special teams coach that put Velus Jones in there, knowing that that was maybe could be the hardest punt he'll ever, you know, try to field in his life. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into winning a game. But first and foremost, you can't beat yourself. And being dumb only hurts you.
Yeah, and you talked about it in pregame, Hamp. Amir Smith-Marset is the player who fumbled. Vikings recovered. The ball was stripped, actually, from him. All he needed to do was get out of bounds. So you're going to be hearing a lot about that. Amir Smith-Marset.
And the clock, you know, it was a factor. Get out of bounds.
Yes.
I mean, everybody, you know, 50-year-old housewives go, get out of bounds, get out of bounds. And these players, they don't know that'll be.
He walks out. They've got a minute 12 and a timeout in their pocket as well. Let's go to Carlos in Riverside. Carlos, you're on WGN.
Hey, guys. Actually, it's Carl, but that's okay.
Okay. I apologize.
That's okay. How can I possibly enjoy my pumpkin donut after this mess? Anyway, guys, Hamp, OB, what's your opinion on the pass coverage right from the get-go, from the beginning of the game?
What'd you guys think? It started out, Cousins had his way. He completed his first 17 pass attempts were completions, a franchise record for the Minnesota Vikings. They were doing anything and everything they wanted in most of the first half, the Minnesota Vikings were.
Well,
but they made some adjustments, OB.
Yeah, well, Kyle, well, let me just tell you something. What happened is there was no pressure on him. Did you ever see anybody get close to him? Nobody got close to him. Their offensive line ate our guys alive that first half. Nobody got to him. He had all day to do whatever it is that he wanted to do, where it was, you know, look to the weak side, strong side, looking for the tight end, looking for a wide out, looking for whoever, because he had no pressure, because our defensive line didn't put any pressure on him.
Just one sack on Cousins today from the Bears pass rush. Mark has been waiting on for a while. Mark, you're on WGN Radio. What do you got?
It's just what you guys just brought up about coaching on defense with the adjustments. The first half, we didn't do anything. They play-actioned us to death. And I didn't see one of those coaches talking to any of the defensive guys in the first and second quarter to make adjustments.
Well, Mark,
go ahead, Obi.
Yeah, Mark. Well, you're right. Okay? I don't understand why. As a matter of fact, this is the first time I couldn't even tell you when I've seen a coach talk to one of our quarterbacks. And I'm talking about last year, the year before. I've been moaning and groaning about this for years. And you look at all the top teams. Look at the Tom Brady's, the Rodgers. Who was in there when they come off? They go to the tablet, computer, and there's a coach sitting right next to them. Our guys sit down, put their back up against the back of the bench, and look up into the sky. But today was the first time I saw a coach talk to our quarterback Fields. Getsy was there. I saw it. I think they moved about maybe three or four times. They took the picture where the cameras moved, and Getsy was there conferring with Fields on the bench or on the sidelines. That is nice to see, which we have never seen.
Okay, real quick, back to the defensive backs and their so-called coverage, if you want to call it that. It was pretty bad early. But think about this. Kyler Gordon is a rookie. He's a nickel. Kendall Vildor is essentially a first-year starter. He started a little bit last year, but not much. Not much. Eddie Jackson, of course, has been there. But Brisker, the safety, Jalen Jones, was starting at left corner. He's a rookie and undrafted. So I'm just saying, going into this game, it was obvious to me that the coaches, knowing whether it was a lack of talent or lack of experience, because we had three rookies and a kind of also ran Kendall Vildor from last year, being the five making up the secondary, they were not trying anything aggressive. They wanted to make sure they kept everything in front. They had everybody rolled off. Finally, once the game started and then we were getting, you know, knifed up and beat to death, then they started saying, all right, now get up, press, and they were so much more successful. The bottom line is the coaches can be faulted because they were the ones telling those kids back off. They did, you know, they were skeptical of their ability to cover. Finally, we got aggressive. Things started to fall into place, and we started getting stops.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. OB?
No, just, hey, what I can tell you is you've got to be aggressive, and you've got to attack on both sides of the ball. You are not going to win a Super Bowl. You are not going to be a world champion, okay, flip-fluffing around out there. You got to be aggressive. You got to attack downfield. You got to mix it up. There's so many things that you can do. You got to go on a quick count, a no huddle. You keep them guessing. Keep the defense off balance. Defensively, come after them. Come after them from a strong safety blitz, a weak side safety blitz, a corner blitz, a Mac blitz, middle linebacker, a Will or a Sam strong side linebacker blitz with the line tricks. Go after people. Make things happen. Don't let them sit and dictate to you. You dictate to them. That should be our philosophy. Defensively and offensively, attack. Take care of business. Don't let them take you out.
Finally, in the second half, I think we, at least a half a dozen times, we did have certain blitzes going.
Yes, we did.
And you know what?
And look at what the hell happened.
There we go.
They stymied them.
Hey, trust me, Alan Williams is a first-time defensive coordinator, and he's taking his lumps, too.
Steve in Orland Park, you're on WGN. What do you got, Steve?
I think the very first play for the Bears offense really revealed that, you know, there's some weak links in that offensive coaching staff. It's truly exemplified that. Thanks, OB and Ham.
All right, thanks for the call, Steve. Yeah, delay of game to start the game, guys, and we were all kind of looking around. It looked like Cole Kmet didn't know where to line up. Right out of the gate, it's never a good look, but especially to start the game when you have your first handful of plays already scripted, essentially.
Yeah, you know what? This game, like 17 of them, okay? And each quarter is 15 minutes. You got an offensive, a defensive, and you got a special teams. Everybody's got to be up to speed. Every facet and phase of your game, offensively and defensively, and with the special teams, has to be in solid before you even play your first game. And this isn't an I think. I'm telling you, that's how it's got to come down. And you could tell the coaching staff by the players and how they play if they're not set and ready to play from the get-go.
And the thing that really bothered me is Kirk Cousins comes out and goes 17-7. We never even tried to break his rhythm with a blitz or anything that we could do to try to knock him off of his rhythm. And it didn't happen until the second half of the game.
Dan, when he started marching down the field with these passes to the strong side, to the weak side, like over the middle, and you're right, and you're exactly correct, Dan. You know what? They just sit back there and let him pound on us. They were attacking us.
They cut us up.
And we didn't attack back. Just what I said. And then you've got to attack them. You can't let that man sit back there and destroy you, and you're backpedaling. No, you're going the wrong way. You got to go forward and take them out.
We'll get to your calls. Bears losing to the Vikings 29-22 at Minnesota.
Hold on, callers. We're going to take a real quick break.
Yeah, we got plenty more to come. We'll be on until 5 o'clock. By the way, guys, before we go, Mel's Craft Barbecue, just absolutely fantastic. Brought some food by for us there. 24 Main Street in Park Ridge. Those pork chops today.
Wait a minute. He came out of left field with a new game plan. Pork chops, OB.
Pork chops. He smoked them and he grilled them. They were fantastic. I lathered it up with some barbecue sauce. Thank you to Mel's Craft Barbecue. More calls to come. 312-981-7200. This is Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Biggest play of the game so far. Fields. Lunging to the 30-yard line.
Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Kevin Powell. In for Andy Mazur. We'll be with you until 5. 312-981-72 is the phone number if you want to chime in. I know we've got some callers here. We'll get into just a second. But, OB, you were just talking about the time of possession. And, you know, the yard difference here, 429 total yards for Minnesota.
Wow.
271 for the Bears. We're used to that at this point with the Chicago Bears 2022 offense. Not putting up a lot of yards, but there was more production from the offense that we've seen through the first quarter of the season here.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. But I'll tell you what, the time of possession is astonishing to me. It's almost a quarter more. Roughly 13 minutes, 13 plus minutes more. The Vikings had the ball than us. Wow.
Yeah, we are all talking about how quickly that first quarter flew by because they were running on the Bears, moving the chains, and the ball didn't hit the ground. Dave in Oakwood. You got a comment about the quarterback position. Dave, you're on WGN.
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say, win or lose, the Hampton OB show every week is a win-win for us in my house.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Hey, one question, and this may be a stupid question, so I don't want to be simple, but I know OB's touched about the quarterback position. We've exhausted it. We've gone through several quarterbacks, several offensive coordinators. My question is, at what point, and I know that the coaching staff finally touched base with Fields on the sideline, but at what point does he kind of stymie himself a little bit because he is so impelled to run the play? When do we let that kid let athleticism take over? I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks, guys.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave. The reason you don't want this kid running every other play. You know, quarterbacks aren't paid to do that.
OB, he took a shot late in that game, and you and I kind of looked at each other like, that was a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to start adding up if that's what he's going to continue to do.
Dave, just trust me on this one. It's a matter of time. If you're a running quarterback, and what I don't like is an offensive coordinator or a head coach telling his offense corner to design plays, running plays for our quarterback. That's why you pay David Montgomery and Herbert. That's why you pay them millions. What are they? They're running backs. That's what they are. Hand off the ball to them or a direct snap to them and let them run the football. Your job is to get back, drop back, roll out, bootleg, play action, and get the ball downfield accurately. That's what a quarterback does at this level, Dave. That's it. Nothing else will get you to the Super Bowl and win a world championship other than a quarterback that can do that. Running quarterbacks never make it. And the other thing about it is, sooner or later, Dave, and to our listeners, it eventually happens, they will get cranked. They will get hurt, sometimes very seriously, where it might end their career. But if they're out for a game or two or four or five games, that's not good. Why? There's only 17 of them. So he's got to be a passer, not a runner.
Okay, and real quick, before we go to break, folks, please stay on hold. We will get you first thing after the top of the hour news. But it's inherent upon Luke Getsy. In this offense, in this wide zone offense, for Justin Fields to be able to present a running aspect of it to keep defenses certain in situations honest, only enhances the running game and the passing game, but he cannot be given call run play after call run play, which is what drives you crazy, OB.
Yeah, design running plays for our quarterback. Excuse me?
No, once in a blue, break, and you pull it down and go. But you can't keep calling quarterback run. All right.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Thanks to Dave for his call. We're going to give him a $50 gift card to Mel's Craft Barbecue in Park Ridge.
You'll love it.
Simply the best barbecue you'll ever eat. It was fantastic today. Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Hot route, hot route.
Who brought it today? Looking at which Bear played tough, played hard.
Justin Fields taking a shot for Darnell Mooney. What a catch! Absolutely incredible from Darnell Mooney. A one-handed 39-yard grab.
Who brought it today? Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. That was the highlight of Darnell Mooney with a ridiculous one-handed grab, a 39-yard reception that really brought some spark and some life to the Bears. This is Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Kevin
Well,
Powell.
Isn't that amazing? God,
right?
They actually threw the ball down the field the last couple of games, and guess what? He caught it. Why? Because he's got all the speed in the world, he concentrates, and he's got good hands. That's what he came with and has now, and use them!
He had just the two catches for 52 yards, but they were both big plays. Darnell Mooney involved with those. But the Bears falling to the Vikings, 29-22. Bears now 2-3 on the year. It felt like another one that immediately was like, this could get real ugly, but they had the lead in the second half, and it really felt like a game just a couple plays away from being 3-2 instead of 2-3.
It was two plays away from not only winning the game, but kind of walking away laughing about what happened in the first half. You know, the block in the back on the touchdown run that was called back, and of course, the strip on the reception that turned the ball over. And there was no doubt in my mind, OB, that we had all the momentum and we were going down and we were going to score. And Justin Fields, he's been struggling. Today, 15 of 21, 208 yards, a touchdown. He had a quarterback rating of 118.8. 118.8 against the Viking defense that had Aaron Rodgers, shut down. I think he had about a 60 quarterback rating.
You know what, Danny? Here's the bottom line. Good teams find a way to win. Let me say it one more time. Good teams find a way to win. That happens week in, week out, every time, every season, whatever. That's what happens. The good teams, they find a way to win.
Yeah, and you think about the past two games, right? A rookie last week against the Giants botches a punt. A second-year receiver gets stripped when he should have just went out of bounds when the Bears were driving with the chance. So that's that inexperience that we know they have. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Joe in Mount Greenwood. Wants to talk about the defensive line. Joe, thanks for calling in.
Hey guys. Thanks. My two favorite football guys, Happen OB. Happen OB. Listen. You guys both play defense, maybe two of the best defensive teams ever. I don't understand why not only the Bears, but a lot of teams in the NFL don't blitz the quarterback, because if the quarterback is good, he's going to beat you. I mean, you got to put pressure on a quarterback. I mean, Brady wouldn't have lost two Super Bowls if the Giants didn't put pressure on him. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
There's no question that we are having to play games with a deficiency in talent. And defensive line is probably as glaring as any. I'm watching out the corner of my eye, the Cowboy defensive line is just torching the L.A. Rams offensive line. They're hitting the quarterback, forcing sacks, getting fumbles. I mean, it's unbelievable. But we are operating under a $60 million deficit in the salary cap, thanks to Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace is the one that left us with this absolute nightmare mess. Khalil Mack is getting paid $24 million by the Bears this year. That money we could use for some pass rushers, but no, we got to pay it to a guy that's playing for the Chargers. And Eddie Goldman, he's getting $5 million. Who knows what he's doing? And Tariq Cohen, remember him? Tariq Cohen is still getting paid $4.2 million. And it goes on and on and on.
Danny, that guy, Pace, the former general manager.
He was a nightmare.
He destroyed this team.
Yes.
And he almost destroyed this franchise. And finally, my God, they got rid of this guy. I tell you what, there's things I'd love to say, but I can't say it over the radio. This guy is, I tell you what, he is the worst executive. The worst executive that was ever known to be for what? Is that 103 years now the NFL's been around? The absolute worst. He's almost buried this team with bad moves, bad money moves, and thank God he is not here anymore.
Well, we had to go bargain basement shopping. We got Justin Jones as the three technique. He's been pretty much a non-factor, but today, much better. He had 9 tackles by himself to lead the team.
Had the sack, too?
He had a sack. And we've got a fifth-round rookie, conversion, Dominic Robinson, that made some big plays in the opener. He showed up today with some pressure. So we've got a bunch of try-hard guys. They just don't have a whole lot of talent.
Yeah, it's clear they need playmakers on both sides of the ball. Vlad in Shorewood, you want to talk about the receivers and Dante Pettis? You're on WGN, Vlad.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I want to talk about Dante Pettis with that drop earlier today. I don't know what was going
Two
on
of
with
them.
That guy.
It's Two
just,
of them.
Yeah, it's like he only had one reception this year. 51 yards the whole season. And don't get me started on that Amir guy. It's just Luke Getchy's got to get it together. And he's got to get it on it tonight. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call,
Well,
man.
The reason that again, when we started the second half and – We get the opening kickoff, and the very first play, Mustafa snaps it into the quarterback's knees. Then right after that, Mooney was wide open, and Fields threw his worst pass of the day. It was 5 yards behind him. And I'm just saying, all these things kind of add up, and they are essentially, you know, eroding the confidence of the quarterback. And all I can tell you is these receivers, if they have a chance to catch the ball, my goodness, please catch it. Dante Pettis is one of the best punt return fielders of the ball I've ever seen. For him to drop both of those passes today, there's no explanation other than I guess he's not a very good receiver.
Yeah, Justin Fields, it looked like he was just trying to put this team on his back and will them to victory, and who knows
almost
what
did.
It almost did. It was getting really interesting at the end there, and again, the ball stripped, and the game's over. 2-0 for the Vikings.
But
I'm going to tell you right now, not one guy's not going to put this team on their back. He's not going to – not one guy on offense of the 11 guys is going to take 10 guys, and he's going to motivate them to do their jobs top-notch every second, every play of a drive going down the field to try to score. It's not going to happen. Everybody's got to show up. The 11 people, do your job. That's what you're there for. That's why you're getting paid millions. And you're going to leave it to one guy, the quarterback, to do it? It will not happen. It will never happen.
I agree. They need production from everybody. By the way, guys, before we take a quick time out, what did you think of Matt Eberflus getting aggressive, an onside kick after they scored? Look, they clawed their way back. They had some momentum.
And then that's when they blocked the field goal attempt. I mean, they basically, you know, saved him. And I loved it. And did you notice late in the game, he had like a little card size play sheet? I think he may have been taking over the defensive calls because he was much more animated and involved in some of the defensive sequences late in the second quarter.
I agree,
second
Dan.
Half. Yeah.
I agree with you.
It's almost like he told Alan Williams, give me the steering wheel. Let me take over.
Yeah.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
What a pop pass. Velus Jones. This is what he can do. And Velus Jones is in for his first NFL touchdown.
Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. We're talking about the Bears 29 22 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. And it's time for the BBB Trusted Review, brought to you by the Better Business Bureau. Find a business you can trust at BBB.org. Review one key play and put a grade on it. And guys, the Justin Fields run was explosive. He showed his athleticism, and again, it was brought back with a penalty that maybe the ref didn't have to throw the flag there, but also don't even put yourself in that situation if you're the wide receiver, Amir Smith-Marset, and that play was called back. But Justin Fields, I thought, like, if that flag doesn't get thrown, it might change the outlook of this game a little bit.
It was a nickel and dime call, and, you know, the sad part about it is,
the
receivers
prevailed, not the nickel.
Well, the receivers have that situation 1,000 times during the course of their career, where somebody, a back breaks a run, and they're supposed to be blocking a safety or something, and there's a point where you say, "I'm just going to stand there and screen the defender." And yet he continued on pushing against him, and of course the cornerback for the Vikings, you know, was trying for an Academy Award, falling down, acting like he was clipped. So don't put yourself in that stupid position.
I agree, Hamp.
Get out of bounds.
Get out of bounds. It was a twofer. Tough day for the young rookie. Ron in Chicago wants to talk about Robert Quinn, who you mentioned in pregame, Hamp, that they need more out of him. He has just the one sack this year. Ron, in Chicago, you're on WGN.
Yes. How much is he being paid this year? He had zeros across the board, zero sacks, zero hurries, zero tackles, zero assists.
He's around 18, 19
million?
Yeah,
it's a large number.
It's a large number.
It's somewhere. Let's put it this way, Ron. Let's say it's 20 million. Give or take one or two, one way or the other.
Okay, but again,
not a bad contract, huh?
Oh, hey, I'd cut my arm off to have his contract. Probably play better than he plays with only one arm. But here's another case in point of Ryan Pace. Signed him, and if we cut him, then we're still having to pay him. So you try to get something out of it. We've got nothing out of him. And the part that really chaps my can is 2 weeks in a row, quarterbacks are exploiting us on the bootleg. The only time he even
showed
up. There's
no containment, Dan.
Yeah, well, the only time he showed up today was one time he got in Kirk Cousins' face when he wasn't even blocked on one of those naked bootlegs. And that kind of stopped the bootlegs for a while.
Dan on line one wants to talk about the special teams. Dan, you're on WGN Radio.
Yeah, hi, guys. Great show and disappointing loss. Special teams. Santos is great, but really, what about like the return team? If they get a chance, kickoff.
Well, Velus Jones Jr. averaged 19 yards on kickoff returns. Look, the special teams came up with a huge blocked field goal. Cairo Santos has been he has literally been perfect this season. And he was good again, made a huge kick for them in the fourth quarter. So, I don't know how you guys feel, Hampton Obi. The special teams.
Special teams have not been a problem. The only thing, you know, in certain instances, there's kind of a new fad going around the NFL. Instead of kicking it out of the end zone, if they think they could pooch it till about the 5, then the kickoff return team's not really, you know, got their stuff together, and they think they can get you before you get out to the 20-25. And Tristan Ebner, he was, you know, kind of caught with his pants down a time or two weeks ago against the Texans. And so that's why we now see Velus Jones, who, to me, is a much more suitable returner. It looks to me like he wants to hit the hole.
It's pretty incredible, guys. The Bears had 47 total plays. The Minnesota Vikings had 74 total plays. And this is
got to stop people. We didn't stop them in the first half. It was the 9-on-7 drill. And it was a clinic. I guarantee you, everybody around the league will be watching that film going, where's the defense? What happened? It was awful.
And Vikings had, again, basically 13 minutes, almost the whole quarter, but more than the Bears. And again, when you cannot, again, convert on third down, guys, You got to struggle to win a football game. The good teams find a way to win.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about those bootlegs, Hamp. That's exactly what the Giants did. So teams around the league are going to see that teams, our offenses, are having success with the bootleg and getting outside the pocket. Daniel Jones did it to them. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings did it to them today.
Early and again,
they see our defense. There's no containment on the backside, whether it's a strong or the weak side. There's no force fill and containment on this team. You see it.
And back to the third downs. Up until the end of the third quarter, the Bears were averaging 9.5 yards to go on third down, third and 9+. Whereas the Vikings, they were 3.5 yards. So it was a lot easier to make third down conversions when you're only having to get 4 yards instead of 10.
Vikings 12 for 15 on third down. I think that sticks out a lot. When they needed a stop at a big time moment, they struggled to do that.
But again, the stop is a lot easier when it's 3rd and 7.
Right.
So the point being is third down's a problem. Yes, OB. But we're giving them too much on first and second. And when it's 3rd and 2, you know, you got 20% chance of stopping them.
And David Montgomery back in there. I know you're a fan, OB, of Montgomery. But the running game, for the most part, was kind of swallowed up early at the line of scrimmage. Could have liked to see more out of the running game today.
Well, I tell you, you know what happened? I think what happened is let the Vikings, what maybe their philosophy was, hey, if we can shut their running game down, they basically don't have a passing game. And the Vikings probably thought, hey, if we can shut their running game down, we can pull out a victory here. I think, Danny, you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
we know they can't pass. We know that. We have 4 games of film where there's no way, no matter what quarter or what game it is, they cannot throw the football, but they can run. So if we can shut the run down, we can walk away with a victory. And you want to know what? That's what the hell they did.
The Bears losing to the Vikings 29-22 this afternoon. The Bears were driving late in the game, if you missed it. And the Bears were heading into Vikings territory. And Amir Smith-Marset, the Bears' young receiver, had the ball stripped away from him when he had a chance to go out of bounds. And that's pretty much how it ended. Vikings 29, Bears 22. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to call in, we'll be here until 5. This is Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
I think it was going good. I think we had plenty of time, so it was going good. I think we were moving efficiently, so who knows what would have happened. So, yeah.
Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. A little Justin Fields presser there. I'm Kevin Powell in for Andy Mazur, Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich in the studio. We're here until 5, 312-981-7200. The Bears losing to the Vikings 29-22. It's time for our Mueller's Auto game-changing moment. Play or player that made a turn in the game. Time now for the Mueller's Auto Group game-changing moment. And
well, that's
OB, Kendall Vildor coming up big early in the fourth quarter.
Kendall Vildor, there's no question about it. It was a game-changing moment. And the only thing, I'd love to see something like that happen 2-3 times a quarter.
Yeah.
But it is. Kendall Vildor made the right move, and it was and it really is a game-changing moment. And congratulations to him. And also the Mueller Auto Dealer Group. Those people, Mike Mueller, the father, those people have been dear friends of mine for almost 50 years. And to Mark Mueller, who runs all the stores, they're wonderful people. And thanks for jumping on board with us.
Thank you to the Mueller's Auto Group. Yeah,
it was
a big interception from Vildor. Bears, after that, went down the field, kicked a field goal to take the lead. 312-981-7200.
Who would have thunk? Who would have thunk? 21-3 at halftime.
There was some excitement building. Let's go to Gary in Villa Park. You're on WGN, Gary.
Hey, Hamp, OB. I think 2 receivers should be fired tomorrow. The guy that couldn't get out of bounds, I give him a little credit because they had 2 guys on him that wouldn't let him go out of bounds. But the other receiver is Pettis, who had 2 really nice first downer throws to him. But he kept looking around. He was more worried about himself than the ball.
Which is bizarre, OB, because if there's one job in the game of football I wouldn't want, it's punt returner. Those guys come down and, you know, decapitate you. And you would think that if you could do that, and this kid is great at that, great at fielding the ball, and, you know, devil may care, defying, you know, decapitation kind of an attitude, but for whatever reason, he's trying to get the ball, and you know, he's making a move before he secures the ball, and it's unacceptable as a receiver.
Well, that's, you know, that's the one thing. Every time that I see something like that, it's a very simple thing to me. What is a receiver paid to do? Catch the damn ball.
Let's go to Matt calling in from Phoenix. Matt, you're on WGN Radio.
Hi, Hamp, OB. Hey. Love you guys. You know, OB, I totally agree with you. I think, you know, you got to get it in the hands of those three stars that we have. Nope. You know, Montgomery,
yes,
Mooney, and our tight end. The one thing I don't understand, though, is why do they run Montgomery right up the middle? I thought this was like a wide zone, outside zone scheme where they're going to run more outside. I mean, you saw Dalvin Cook do it all game, but it seemed like Montgomery was running right up the middle almost every time. Run him outside, I think, a little bit more.
Well, it's more of Luke Getsy not getting it. At some point, OB, you know, the old adage in baseball, hit it where they ain't. Well, you run it where they ain't. Well, there was a conscious effort by the Vikings, as Kevin alluded to an hour ago. They came into this game saying, all we got to do is stop the run. The passing game is non-existent. And so they concentrated, walking the Hunter Smith, the safety up. They were putting 7-8 in the box. That's right there at the line of scrimmage. You need to be smart enough to be able to do some counters or something to get outside. The same thing, play after play, was ridiculous.
Well, Danny, offensive game planning to me is basically almost non-existent. I mean, when you have the three people we're talking about, okay, Montgomery, Mooney, my God, and
Komet.
Yeah, Cole Komet, you've got to use them. They've got to be in every quarter, one after the other, hitting them, hitting the tight end, hitting the wide out, hitting them downfield, intermediate over the middle, and handing the ball off to Montgomery. Why Montgomery? Because he breaks tackles and he never gives up. I don't care if he's a foot from the ground, he's still struggling to go forward. I would love to have three guys like that, and we've got to get them more in the flow of the game. They are not in the flow of the game. And Getsy's got to get them involved. Danny, you agree with that?
Well, there's traditionally 60, 62 plays a game average for an offense. How about 10 targets for Komet, 10 targets for Mooney, 20 runs for the running back, whether it's Montgomery or Herbert, and then the other 20, do what you want. But it has to be a constant, overarching game plan that you try to feature those guys. We haven't done.
Because they make it happen. That's why.
Well, they're the best we got.
Yes.
We got to go with their best weapons.
They don't have many playmakers. David Montgomery is one of those guys, though. He had just 12 carries for 20 yards today.
1.7 yard average today. He had a great touchdown run.
He did. It was very nice. Fields led the team in rushing with 47 yards, had 8 carries as well. Let's go to Ray in Chicago. He's been hanging on for quite a while. Ray, you're on WGN.
Well, thank you. My question is, when we look at the Bears organization, is this not problems in the family business? The ineptitude at the top just permeates the whole organization between the coaches, the players, the drafts, and the reno of Soldiers Field.
Okay, you know what? And I was thinking about this this weekend with the offense being so bad, OB. I was thinking to myself, how did we get here? Let's go back 18 months. Remember when George and Ted had that excellent press conference adventure? Remember they said, well, our team is bad, our offense is bad, our defense, but you know what? Despite the bus careening off a cliff, we're going to bring Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace back one more year. Well, guess what? That one more year has been a backbreaker as far as trying to, you know, shirk all the bad things that's happened to this franchise over the last decade, and we're still behind the eight ball with the salary cap. So it's going to be a while till we get better players.
Danny, in my lifetime, and there's been several coaches here, okay, and I can tell you, your coach and my ex-old teammate, Mike Ditka, no, he stands alone. He stands alone. It's been one coach after another, one philosophy after another, and it's somewhere it's got to stop, Dan. And I hope it stops with Eberflus. And I get mystified sometimes just looking at the game plan from quarter to quarter and game to game here, the first four or five. And it just doesn't make sense to me. Well, what we're trying to accomplish is win a Super Bowl, okay? Not win a quarter or not make a down look great. Win a Super Bowl, win the games.
Well, my attitude about these coaches has changed a lot in the second half performance that we saw today. So I think the arrow is starting to point up instead of sideways or even down as it was after the Giant game last week. By the way,
I agree. The fact that they went to these three guys, those are our three threats. My God, use them.
You know, we're talking about Ryan Pace. Just a real quick shout out to the family of Jerry Vanisi, our dear friend who passed away Monday. Jerry was the general manager of the Bears during the Super Bowl era that, you know, I played on. He was a great friend of yours, OB.
Yeah, he was. I'll tell you, and I remember we went to dinner on my birthday in May, and we went to dinner with Jerry and Kathy, and you were there, Danny. And some other dear friends.
You made
friends.
Me pay for my own food, though.
Oh, you know. Come stop it. But anyway, to Jerry, I have never in my lifetime, Dan, and I can say this very easily, I've never met a nicer man in my life. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. God's love, Jerry. God's love.
We'll continue to take calls, 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB will be here until 5. They're sponsored. But go ahead, Hamp.
We got three calls. We're going to get to you as soon as we get back, babe. Hang in there.
Hamp and OB brought to you by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Yeah, we just got to start faster. You know, keep what we're doing in the second half. We just got to start faster. And then your next question is going to be how, right? We got to bring it to the attention of the coaches and the players, and we got to set it up for practice.
And Eberflus following the Bears' 29-22 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. This is Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Kevin Powell, in for Andy Mazur. We'll be here until 5, 312-981-7200, if you'd like to get a call in.
You know, and by the way, with Andy being out, I guess we forgot to get our dear friend Kaz on, but he'll be on next week, OB. It'll be late after the Thursday night game, and I'm sure he'll have lots of insightful comments saved up. But, we're going to do the player of the game, are we not?
We're going to do the play of the game, sponsored by Good Foods. Game Day is Guac Day. Bears fans enter to win amazing prizes at GameDayIsGuacDay.com. Good Foods Guac, available at Jewel Osco.
And this is the play, ladies and gentlemen, that this man to my left has been screaming about all year. And it is, throw the damn ball down the field, and who do you throw it to, OB?
Darnell Mooney!
There you go. And a better catch will we ever see? I don't know. I mean, it's as good as I've ever seen. And obviously, you know, everybody go, ooh, Odell Beckham, one-handed catch, blah, blah, blah.
And that's not a one-in-a-lifetime catch. The kid does it.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, everything changed after that catch. It changed the momentum, the confidence, the attitude, all that stuff that Eberflus was just talking about, getting started. Well, we didn't get started until Mooney made that catch.
Yeah, it was their third possession of the game. And right after that, David Montgomery went in for a touchdown from the Minnesota 9. And it did. It sparked some life into the Chicago Bears. Let's get to the phone. Jim in Chicago talking about the defense in the second half. Jim, you're on WGN. Thanks for calling. Jim, Chuck, Jim, you there?
Hello, yeah.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Jim from Chicago, with a first-time caller for Dan and Obradovich. It seems like 2 weeks in a row now, the defense kicked in later and started making some stops. I couldn't believe they never hit Chuck Jefferson off the line of scrimmage in the first half, give him a bumper. They were playing 8 yards away from him because he had the speed on him, but nobody even touched the guy to try to knock him off or something, 5 yards, you know.
That's what I was thinking. The guy had free reign. Nobody touched the guy off the line of scrimmage.
And you know what? The good receivers can make you look foolish, let alone maybe one of the top three receivers in all of football. And we had a – and 31 is a, you know, a low draft pick rookie, and Jalen Jones is his name, I believe. Mm-hmm. And essentially they said, you know what, we're going to put, you know, you on this superstar, and we're going to try to help you over the top. And I guess the kid was paralyzed with fear, OB. He didn't want to get within 10 yards of him till the second half. But once we did gain some confidence, we started to be more aggressive, assertive, and we got up there and we started trying to, you know, redirect those receivers. It changes everything. And you saw Kirk Cousins, who started out 17-17, well, guess what? He started throwing it in the dirt.
It was pretty incredible on some of those catches from Justin Jefferson, how wide open he was, considering that
it's embarrassing.
All of us knew they were going to go to him, and he had some wide open looks. Let's go to Geneva on line two. Geneva, you're on WGN Radio.
Hey there. Longtime listener. Love you guys.
Thank you, babe.
I have a question. So what's more important, having the good talent that gets drafted by the organization or a coach that can handle them?
Good question. Thank you for the call, Geneva. Hamp, OB?
Well, an ultra-talented team, anybody can coach, and we kind of watched that year after year down in Dallas. It doesn't always work out to the positive side, but here's the thing. You know, and people, I know it's a new day, it's a new time, but this past week, I was talking with Sean Payton, the excellent coach of the Saints, who's taken a year off, and he said he's coming back somewhere next year. I look in Carolina if you want to put a wager on it. But he was talking about certain players, and he said, we just thought they were a first contract player. And I didn't have to ask what he was talking about. What he was saying was, they're not going to be the core of a team that you would build and try to keep for 8, 10, 12 years. They're just a guy that will start and you hope, you know, they play well. A blue, you know, not a blue chip, but a red chip, or just a guy. And unfortunately, you look across this team, other than Roquan and our quarterback, do we have a blue chip player?
Yeah, we do.
Who?
I'd say Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney.
No, he's not.
Well, that's your opinion.
Neither one is. But
you just asked me, and I gave you my opinion.
You hope it's Justin Fields, right? You hope he turns into
that. Well, I mean, anybody.
What? You ask me, I give you an answer, and then you tell me no.
A player.
Give me a break.
A player that you could send to Kansas City, and they would play him. They'd find some place to play him.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay,
Darnell Mooney. What, they wouldn't find a place for Cole Kmet?
Maybe not. Not with the tight end.
Come on.
I'm just saying. That's how you build a team. And as far as the coach, we don't know. We've got a 5-game track record on Eberflus. But I'm telling you, so far, so good. I like the way he keeps this team involved to the very end. We haven't had those idiotic blowouts like the Tressman and John Fox years. They're fighting, they're scratching, they're clawing. And as you said, OB, a couple of the guys were loafing. I'm hoping the coach singles that out and we eliminate that.
On this team, the Chicago Bears, the year 2022, you've got to get your difference makers on both sides of the ball, Dan. Okay, Rokon Smith, our middle linebacker on defense, you got to get him blitzing. You got to get him involved in every phase. Offensively, you got to go to Darnell Mooney, Kmet, and have Montgomery. Why? Because they are legit difference makers, and you cannot hide them and not use them for two or three games.
All right, guys, let's take one more call real quick. Let's go to Josh in Joliet. Real quick, Josh, what do you got? You're on WGN.
I just wanted to ask, where does Ryan Poulsen fit in? Because, you know, we have these receivers that can't catch, and Ryan Poulsen picked them, so where does he fit in on this?
Thank you for the call, Josh.
All right, well, here's the deal. Dante Pettis is a free agent that we signed. St. Brown is a free agent that we signed because we didn't have anything else. And we got rid of Allen Robinson, who, by the way, is making a few catches for the Rams. But we didn't have very much, and so we're trying to make the best of what we got.
Two legends, Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich. Bears losing to the Vikings 29-22. I'm Kevin Powell. Appreciate you listening.
Thanks to all the callers for calling in.
We had a great time over the last couple hours.
Thursday
night, Hamp and OB will be here right here on WGN. Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Have a good night.